This is the Rick Edelman Show.
And in somewhat surprising bad news, the September jobs report was disappointing. The gain for the month was just under 200,000 jobs, which was less than half of what economists had expected. In August, it was also relatively low at only 366,000 jobs. The past 2 months saw a pretty steep drop-off from what we saw back in June and July with 1 million and 1.1 million, respectively. But since the bottom of the pandemic lows, employers have added back 17 million jobs, due in part to a huge infusion of federal aid, but also because the rollout of vaccines meant that many consumers are more confident returning to shops, going back to restaurants and bars. But the not so good is that 183,000 people stopped looking for work altogether last month and therefore were no longer counted among the jobless. Now, the labor force participation rate is the percentage of all people of working age who are employed or are actively seeking work. Before the pandemic, that labor participation rate had been around 63%. Now, it's closer to 61%. Economists don't know why so many have chosen to stay unemployed, even as demand has gone up. Now, some may have lingering fears about infection or have difficulty with childcare arrangements. Some have taken early retirement or are just taking time off to rethink their careers. Hiring has slowed partly because companies just can't find nearly as many workers to fill the need. So it's not the lack of the jobs, it's the lack of the people being able to fill them. In June, employers posted a record of 10.9 million job openings and have struggled to fill them. And while many assumed that we'd see big changes when the enhanced unemployment benefits ended in September, the end of the federal aid doesn't appear to have much of an effect, at least so far. Now, how bad are the supply chains? Well, it's gotten so bad that many retailers have decided to cut out a few links in the chain, or the middleman, so to speak, and are taking control of their own supply dynamics. One of those, Costco. They've recently chartered 3 ocean vessels for next year to ship containers between U.S. and Canada and Asia. Costco has leased several thousand containers to use on these chartered ships, and IKEA has bought its own shipping container to ship furnishings. Well, if you've had to buy any furniture this year, you know how long it takes. Walmart as well has chartered some vessels to get them through this year's holiday season. And all these extra costs for the retailers can mean only one thing: more inflation. And one retailer who's really felt the pain from inflation? Dollar stores. Well, if there's one business model that is certainly made harder during periods of inflation, it's one that's predicated upon the cost of all your goods being fixed at a dollar. And so, yes, after several decades of selling most things for a dollar, Dollar Tree plans to roll out more plus stores. That's a store that also sells things for $3 or $5. Now, they cite far higher than average shipping costs that have affected their company's ability to make money, and they do feel that it's more prolonged than they had originally assumed. And many feel that way. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell cautioned last week that inflation may last longer than originally anticipated. According to Powell, it's elevated and will remain so in coming months before then moderating, and that the effects have been larger and longer lasting than they originally anticipated, but will eventually abate. And they expect inflation to go back toward their longer run goal of 2%. A key inflation gauge watched by the Federal Reserve hit another 30-year high, and that's the Consumer Price Index, the CPIU. Over the last 12 months, it was 5.4% before the seasonal adjustment. The indexes for food and shelter rose in September, and together they contributed to more than half of the monthly all-item seasonal adjusted increase. In September alone, the energy index was up by about 1.3%, with the gasoline index going up 1.2%. I'm sure you have noticed that at the pump. And if you look at the energy index over the last 12 months, well, yeah, it was up almost 25%, and the food index over that same period, around 4.5%. And we know that a key driver of inflation overall, it affects things from lumber to oats to propane and natural gas, and it's propelled by big increases in demand coming from all of these economies that are reopening. Rising prices are then being passed on to consumers through the increases in those finished goods and products. Now, what does this mean for your winter gas bill? Are you ready for it? Because if you're one of the nearly half of U.S. households that heat with natural gas, you might want to get ready for an average of 30% higher bills compared with last year. And it could be as much as 50% higher if the winter is even 10% colder than average. So what can you do to prepare? Well, first of all, make sure you get an energy-efficient tune-up to make sure your systems are operating correctly. Maybe you can pay into a program through your regular bill. Some utility companies offer special programs to allow you to pay over time. Examine your monthly budget. Maybe think about using less gas overall, commuting to work, and cutting down on the gasoline for your car. Maybe keeping your thermostat lower, but still bearable. Look for other budget items that can be scaled back that will help you to be ready for that higher natural gas bill. And also, there are federal assistance programs available to help you with utility bills. One of the most well-known is called the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program. Now, it does require that your income doesn't exceed 60% of the state's median income. Some states have discounted rate programs, such as percentage of income payments, and programs are meant to keep those bills affordable and forgive past due amounts if you're able to pay that discounted rate back on time. 888-PLAN-RICK, rickedelman.com.
These callers are pre-recorded and pre-screened. Neither Edelman Financial Engines, a division of Financial Engines Advisors LLC, nor its affiliates offer tax or legal advice. Interested parties are strongly encouraged to seek advice from qualified tax and/or legal experts regarding the best options for your particular circumstances. Investing strategies such as asset allocation, diversification, or rebalancing do not assure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses. All investments have inherent risks, including loss of principal. There are no guarantees that a portfolio employing these or any other strategy will outperform a portfolio that does not engage in such strategies. Past performance does not guarantee future results.